very interesting dichotomy of the episode today. We will talk about the drafted Hawkeyes. Huge weekend, draft weekend for the Hawks. It usually is. Iowa, with the NFL pedigree, it just is what it is. Cooper, Torrey, Logan, Eric Gall, and more signed as free agents. That doesn't happen until 26 minutes into the episode. The first part, a completely different topic that some of you may relate to. We'll see. Let's have a day. Let's go.
I don't know if it's a launch.
Walk-ons are going to take credit for that. Welcome into the podcast, another episode. Grant just let us know that he's interviewing university coaches now on his own for his own stuff. Can you divulge what it's for? Is it just for a class project?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like a podcast class.
God, I wish they would have had that.
Yeah, and there you just got to do interviews, and I thought I feel like it's weird if I say the coach's name before it actually happens.
Yeah, we'll keep it under wraps. So, but
Coach X, I thought was a good could be a good source. So
could be a good source.
Fire out an email, see what happens, and here we are.
A couple comments on the YouTube, by the way, say they miss the intro music and that you guys suck.
I saw the comments about the first part of that sentence, but I don't whatever the people want.
I mean, I can always just rip. It's right there at the ready. And I always have.
Yeah, but Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Haven't had that one not come out.
That's really the best one that we have. Gary Dolph. Can you imagine? Going back to that conversation we had last episode, how amazing it would be to sit, Kev, just to imagine sitting in the booth with Gary during a game.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome.
It would be incredible.
We can all watch a game together whenever you guys want. So I'm flattered by your compliment.
Gary!
We did. We went to the season opener last year, Gary.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
It's fantastic.
We watched
the first 3 minutes of the game thinking, oh, my God, we got it.
We're back.
We're going to score 70 points a game, allow only three, and cruise to the national championship. That was my thoughts.
Yep, and that was the first 3 minutes of the Hawkeye football season, and things changed from there. But
Isn't it funny how one play and timing and – expectation and anticipation of the season, like, you know, it's like first offensive
game is like, oh my God, we're gonna be unstoppable.
I think the receiver who caught that pass was the Seth Anderson.
Yeah,
who was?
It was the transfer from like South Alabama or something. And then Seth was, he was part of the offense, but did he even score any more touchdowns after that? That is only touchdown.
I don't want to know the answer to that question.
Grant, check the Grant.
I'm gonna guess no.
Check Anderson's stats. And then we'll take off his 50 yards, one catch, one touchdown from that first play. Obviously, this is a futile thing for me to ask the producer here on this show with our circumstance because of how the Iowa offense has performed the last couple of years.
It was, in fact, his only touchdown of the season.
Okay, and how many catches did he have last year?
11.
Okay, so that was 9% of his catches. And how many yards did he have?
He had 150.
So he had a third of his yards, 10% of his catches, and his only touchdown in the first offensive play of the year.
I don't think it was the first play, but it was the first drive.
First big offensive play of the year. Yeah, it's just funny how expectations like that. You could feel it in the booth that day. We were up in the press box. We were high society that day. Just looking down at the heat.
It's good because it was a toasty day that day.
It was hot. It was hot. And those ice cream sandwiches at the end of the third quarter, they hit.
Oh, yeah.
Life-changing. I think about that three times a week minimum. Those ice cream
I think about it every day. In fact, I'm thinking about ice cream right now. As many of you know, I do a Sunday Culver's every Sunday. You're like, Tyler, how are you so Absolutely.
You're dying to get sponsored, aren't you?
That's all I want. That's all I want.
What do you do? What side do you get with your
cheese curds.
Butterburger? You go the cheese curds? Okay.
Absolutely. Triple butterburger with just cheese on it. So basically a plain cheeseburger, mm-hmm. triple. Mm-hmm. Cheese curds on the side.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Two scoop hot fudge sundae. Mm-hmm. That is my Sunday meal. It is about, oh God, what is it? It's 2,350 calories. It's dense. It's dense.
I mean, that's a lot of cheese.
It's a lot of cheese. Kevin's like eyes are up doing the math. He's just like, it's a lot of cheese. Gotta watch the, if you guys aren't watching the YouTube, what are you doing? Which by the way, when Grant goes off and gets a big boy job and he's like, hey, and he eventually sends me the message and I know it's coming, Grant, I know it's coming. Grant's like, hey, we got to talk. And then I'm going to have that drop in my stomach. I'm going to have the butterflies in my heart. And I'm going to know that it's that, hey, you know, I've loved being a part of the brand, but you know, I got this, I got to focus on, you know, the job that's actually paying me. And Grant's going to go and leave us. And Kevin, as you know, he's the CEO of Stryker. He's got a lot going on, and eventually he is going to run out of interest for this podcast, the show. And I will be left to my own devices here on this thing. And so the YouTube's going to become a vital portion at that point, because I think at that day, I'm just going to become like a daily Hawkeye news show. And if there's no news, we'll get on, we'll hop on, talk for 10, 15 minutes, chat away with everybody that's fans of the show every morning. And, you know, we'll do like two longer form or one long form podcast a week. In season, we'll still do the breakdowns, try and bring people on. But the YouTube is going to become and become more and more a vital part of this whole operation. So I just want you guys to subscribe, hit the bell, notifications, leave comments down below. Tell me what you think Grant's next first real job is going to be. And we'll go from there.
Oh, people are going to be sending me to Deloitte if you're having them guess.
Deloitte?
I don't know. I'm assuming people would just guess like Grant does big boy job first. I don't know.
What was your what's your degree in right now?
It's journalism. It's my degree.
I don't think Deloitte hires journalists.
No, they do not. They do not. No.
Well, our friend Bo, who I don't know if you've met Bo in person, but you will soon at the tourney, golf tourney. He got a. I'm not even sure what his major's in, and he has been both an engineer and a doctor. That's a joke, at least. He does what Kevin does, but we call him. He's, you know, he's been an engineer and a doctor, and he got his degree in
geographical survey.
Yeah, surveying, land surveying. So you can really be anything you want to be, Grant.
Yeah.
Trying our best,
yeah. Especially if you've put yourself into $150,000 worth of debt,
and you lie on your resume. That's a big too.
True.
Lie or bend the truth.
It could be bending.
I saw a Twitter post, and it was like it was a guy like put on like 5 years of experience on his resume, and he's like 24, and he got the job. And like he had like previous like referrals, and he had like people like
lying for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's on like on LinkedIn at the bottom under your skills, you can like vouch for people's skills.
Yeah. Like Kevin, like on my LinkedIn, I can vouch for Kevin's like literacy in Microsoft PowerPoint.
Yeah. Like, yep. I witnessed Kevin do Excel extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
Many times. Yes.
Like, Kevin's communication skills are off the chart. Trust me.
Get I'm sure the Grant Allen stamp of approval will mean a lot to these employers.
I've only had to. So before I created my own path that we're on right now, good or bad decision, you have to be determined. But I, once upon a time, you remember, Kev, you remember when I worked for the Ninja Warrior gym?
Hey.
I was for those new to the podcast in the last 3 years. What'd you say?
What a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was pre-2020. It was 2019 fall or late summer. I stopped working there, but I worked there for about a year and a half. I was the GM. I was the general manager of a Ninja Warrior kids gym, like just a, you know, basically a big American Ninja Warrior. There's a bunch of rings and ladders and foam pits and all this stuff. And I managed that place in Clive, Iowa for about 18 months. And that's the only time I've had to turn in a resume, you know, to the guy who actually owned the place. He owned the five locations they had or whatever, like three in Omaha and one up here in Des Moines and one somewhere else. And that was like truly one of those times where like, if you're going to put some references down on your old, on your resume, the references need to be people who are like ride or dies. You know, like they call up your reference and they're like, hey, this guy says he's got a 240 IQ and he reads a book every other day. Yep, that's my guy right there, Tyler. Best friend since third grade. What do you want to know about him?
You need a yes man.
Kevin somebody calls me and they're like, hey, you know, Kevin Ward wrote you down as a reference. I just got a couple questions about him. Yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Also, if you kind of run in similar tracks of life at some point, or like you kind of, you know, run in the same crowd a little bit, like in your professional career, people will call references that you don't even list. It's like, hey, tell me about this guy.
People they know you.
Yeah, exactly. So one job that I applied for way back when, called one of the coaches on the Iowa staff because they had a contact who also played at Iowa. And
I didn't think about that. Former coach. Yeah, that would be, especially for someone like you, Kev, that was more of like a public career, like a more obviously you and I have the athlete experience on our resume. And so that's a pretty like, okay, well, if you played.
I mean, that's all I had coming out of college, right?
It's really all we got at all.
You know? It's like, how can you, sell this experience as a way that you're going to succeed in a professional career? But
if someone ever calls me, Kev, just know I'm telling them you're 3% body fat, 10 inches below the waist. And this guy can get a deal done. He can sell whatever you need to. This guy he's good for it. Okay. Don't worry.
Did you tell him that one time?
You wrote a three-part series?
What?
You wrote a three-part book series?
Yeah, and that one time that with his dedication that we watched Game of Thrones in 2 weeks.
I figured you would have just listed that on your resume.
I really should, honestly.
Grant, you know this, right?
Skills. Can watch Game of Thrones at an incredible rate. I have heard this story, yes.
Yeah, Kevin and I watched the entire – well, at the time, there was only 60 episodes only. Six seasons were out. And
only 60 hours of television.
And Kevin and I got into it because the seventh season was coming out that fall. And so we had to get it in, and it was summer. And we had nothing but a 2.5-hour workout in the mornings during summer. So in a matter of, I believe it was 14 days, but me and Kevin both went home in the weekend in the middle of that and didn't watch any episodes for two whole days. So it was really in a 12-day time frame. We watched 60 episodes of Game of Thrones, some of which got out to like 75, 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we put in some 12-episode days here and there.
Kevin and I would just look at each other and like, you know, end of a good episode, they leave you on a cliffhanger. We just kind of look at each other like, well, can't stop now, you know?
And it's like, that was the end of the season. It's like, can't stop.
Gotta start the next season. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Truly, Kev, best 2 weeks of my life.
I think we watched the first season in over a day. I think
it was about a day and a half. I think we started after the workout about noon, and we finished like one or two the next day.
24 hours later.
Yeah. Yes. It was best time of my life. Maybe
I would give a lot of money to be able to do that for the first time again.
Well, and this is why I'm excited. And I know we've mentioned it, and I know people don't care. And this is why quite frankly, it's dry season. We're going to talk about the draft here in a second. We got four boys going places. So I'll direct you in the front of the episode to that timestamp here in a second, but we got some personal conversation going on here. You got to buy into the host. You really build the brand. You build the walk-ons. Who is Grant? Who is Kluver? Who is Kevin? What are they like? How many hours of Game of Thrones did they watch in a row? I can give people that random fact now. This is why I'm very excited for this week, Kev, because at the time of recording this, in about 90 hours, 70, 85 hours, we're going to be flying out to Vegas. And this will be the first time in 8 years. First time in 7 years, 6 years. Whenever we left campus, so it was 2018. So yeah, it was exactly 6 years ago that I will have hung out with the boys, just the boys, no kids, no wives, just the boys, since we walked away from the Benton driveway.
Fuck.
Yeah. This is the first time in 6 years.
You know, there's probably been a handful of times. It's probably under five that
I know you've
all them together, but yeah. You know, why is like usually it's weddings, right? It's like,
yeah,
the wives are there and stuff.
Yeah, the wives and kids are both there.
Fuck,
nothing against the wives and kids or the significant others and kids if they have them. But
the last time it was just the six of us.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a couple of my high school buddies there as well, but yeah, that's insane, man.
I realized that this weekend, and that's pretty much why I've been excited for 3 months.
Well, let's hope it happens. You know, there's
a big caveat there.
It's not for certain. Yeah.
Yeah. So
praying.
Yeah. We're hoping it comes through. Yeah, you and I will be there.
That is honestly what I'm most excited for, is that we have to get all the boys back together.
It's really sad. You hear about it when you're in college. Of course, on the team, you always hear like, hey, you guys are never going to get this again. You can't buy this. You can't buy the time with your teammates, the time in the locker room, all this stuff. But what you don't – like you can't buy the time outside the locker room either. Mm-hmm. Like having a wife and kid is amazing and life-changing and all the great adjectives in its own other way. But there's a different lane that your friends fill. And – it's a little bit more exaggerated for me because I don't really, this sounds so sad. I don't have any friends. Like,
I mean, I think this is kind of part of just growing up, man. It's like your friends, you, especially when your college friends move across the country, you know, you don't live in the same hometown as your high school friends. Like all my high school friends went off to college, moved back to outside Chicago.
Yeah.
Every single one. And then the college friends, like I stayed here and everyone fucking left.
Everybody left.
You know, it's like, you can make friends like at work. You can make friends outside of that stuff. But it's like there's no bonding experience like there is like with your high school friends or with like your college football buddies. There's nothing that can get you closer than that.
Right. Yeah. So like I would consider you, this is like very, we'll call it frat douche. Like I would consider you the house and then two buddies from back home, Riley and Blake, I would call you my boys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Look at me, man. It's look at the bachelor party.
Right.
It's the house. I invited Jake. He didn't come. Cause he's a bitch.
Jake's not coming.
No, Jake's not. He got crushed with weddings this year. So
he's worthless.
Yeah. I know. And then it's three of my best high school buddies, and then Alyssa's brother, and it's going to be one of my hometown friends who I didn't go to high school with.
Yeah, so like I have you five, and then two from home. So I have seven like true boys. Like I text them every day. We text every day in the Benton chat. Like it's an ongoing conversation that hasn't stopped since when we left each other in 2018. And then I have three friends, not boys, but friends. That are adjacent in my life. I see them once every 6 weeks because we all have kids now here in town, and they are the significant others of my wife's friends from college.
Mm.
So Ben, Nick, and Justin are the husbands of my wife's three best friends that I did not know until I met them in college when I would visit Lauren. And they're not my boys, but they're my friends. Like they're the only friends I have in Des Moines. And I don't go to an office, and I know like you don't go to an office either, Kev, but you at least like, you know, doctors, you know, other salesmen in your profession. You see,
I get a ton of human contact in my job. That's all my job is.
I get zero.
Yeah.
I get zero. I train in my gym and the last since January, I started going to the gym once a week. So I could train with Cole Fish and two of the other guys up there that are like, I would actually call them maybe my newest friends, and I get to see them once a week. And like, I go not for the gym equipment because I get to like see somebody other than myself. It's really, really sad. So just 20 minutes of like sadness on the front end of this episode. But like,
I bet there's a ton of people that can relate to that. It's like, you know, you move on in your life and you start a family and you don't get much time with your friends anymore. And yeah, like your friends that you did have might not be near you. And it's tough to make new friends when you're an adult, man.
And you don't even want to.
It's like, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Now, luckily for me, like I get a ton of human contact.
Yeah, you do.
Like interaction all day. And like I do a bunch of dinners and stuff with.
And I'm a hermit.
I'm like, yeah. So my social need as a human being is met by my career.
Luckily. Yeah. Now I will be entering a new stage of life. Kin Diesel is going to get older and older, and she's going to get into sports, and she's going to get into activities where I am going to be forced, and I'm dreading it. Absolutely not looking forward to it. I've already experienced it a little bit in the neighborhood because all she wants to do is go outside and play with the puppies, and there's other little kids running around. So then I have to interact with their fucking parents, dude.
I tell you what, man, I wouldn't be too dismissive about that. So two of my best friends from hometown.
Okay.
We became friends. The oldest one played baseball with Patrick, my oldest brother, growing up.
Okay.
Middle one played with Ryan.
Yep.
And now our sets of parents are best friends.
Really?
Like, they're best friends. They travel, yeah, they go on vacation together, and like they hang out all the time. Best friends.
Yeah, and I look at my parents and my parents' friends.
And they met through us, like our the kids playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My parents
at 8 years old together.
My dad, not so much. My dad is reconnected and they live back where he was from high school. So most of his friends that he hangs out with are like back from his college or high school past. But my mom, all of her friends are my teammates from Marshalltown, their moms and dads.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so maybe that's why I'm dreading it, is because I know that I'm going to end up making these new friends. I'm going to have to – I'm sort of not a social person, as you know.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and honestly, now that I think about it, it's like, you know, you kind of alluded to say, like, oh, you feel like kind of a loser because you don't like feel like you get that much interaction with your friends because, no. You know, life's moving on. And think back to your childhood. It's like, how often do your parents just hang out with their friends?
It's true.
Not friends who are parents of your friends, even though, like, in my example, they became best friends.
Sure.
But like their friends, like, my dad is still close with two of his college football buddies.
Yeah.
And, you know, they lived in the area as well. Didn't see him that often.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. My dad would go to Vegas once a year with his high school college group.
Okay.
And has every year, and that has become more frequent. It's like two or three times a year now. A little ridiculous. Guys just want to go to Vegas, you know?
I mean, if we made it a year thing, I wouldn't be upset.
My mom, shit. My mom, oh God, like maybe like once every 4 years or 5 years, she would see like a friend from high school or college. It's nuts, dude. It's Grant, are you depressed yet listening to this? Dude, just know that the friends you have
you're
right now.
You're 2 weeks away from this, brother.
You're two weeks away from never seeing your friends again.
Yeah, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, you know, this is potentially just right around the corner.
Like, how many boys do you have right now? Two or three best friends in college?
Yeah, I got like we got a good core group. I live with most of them.
Yeah,
like,
well, guess what? Say goodbye to that.
Yeah, I graduate in like 2 weeks now, right? And I kind of sit around sometimes. I'm like, you know, I like a lot of these dudes, but it's a good chance after I leave, like I just might just never see some of these people ever again.
I think the moral of the story is like, you have to make it a priority to see your friends.
You have to schedule it.
And for us, like we've gone through that phase where like everyone's gotten married for the last 5 years. And that's how we got together like once a year, you know, not everyone made it to every wedding, but like, you know, Josie got married, then Ike got married.
I got married.
Kluver got married.
And, Bo got married.
Bo got married. I'm getting married this year. Drake's probably never getting married, but
we'll all meet at Drake's funeral.
We'll be at Drake's funeral, yeah. But from here on out, it's like we're gonna have to make it a point to get together if we want to get together.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make this.
Yeah, like just like, hey guys, once a year, we gotta set a weekend aside
and just go.
We just gotta go.
I know,
and that's probably all you're gonna get, right? So, you know, wife and kids, you're not You can't ask for much more than 1 weekend away.
You can't ask for much more. And honestly, once you don't really, I mean, there's some variance in how much you'd like it or not, but like, if you like your wife and you like your kid, like you want to be around them. You don't, you know, like you don't want to be away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done this. We've planned a few things in the past or whatever. And I, you know, Ike will be like, I just don't want to be away from the kids that long. And then like I had Ken and I started to understand that. I'm like, yeah, just like for the last 2 weeks, the joke has been, you know, Ken is a daddy's girl just all the time. Dad, like never says mom. Like Lauren's getting pretty annoyed by it. Yeah. And the whole joke has been like, Ken, are you going to be okay? Like I'm gone for 3-4 days. Like you're gonna have to be with mom for the weekend. Like what are you guys gonna do? They got a whole weekend playing with grandma and stuff. But yeah, I'm like, come Saturday, I'm gonna be missing the wife and kid pretty bad. Like it's, you get pretty attached. So I'm sure that was a super relatable conversation for a lot of people out there, and I hope I didn't make any of you sad, but maybe it's a little wake-up call. Like, hey, call your group of boys right now.
Go send a text to your buddies. Like, hey, we gotta make it happen. Let's get together.
If nothing changes, nothing changes. You have to make it happen here. So That's what it is. 26 minutes is where I'll direct the people to. Welcome to the meat and potatoes of the podcast. All right. There's a couple Hawkeyes that got taken in the NFL draft this week, and we're going to talk about them. 4 of them to be exact. And it's funny. 0 Huskers taken. Kevin had to step away.
The entire draft?
What? No, like Huskers. Zero.
Zero.
Not a single corn shucker was taken in all 7 rounds, all 280 picks or 200. I don't know. How many picks are there?
Unfortunate.
What, is it unfortunate that no corn Huskers were taken? I think it's kind of funny.
I'm sure they were hoping that people were going to get drafted.
Reason that could be a secondary sort of a back end, maybe a problem for Hawkeye fans later, is the fact that they had a lot of guys stay and use their COVID year. So I think, what is it? This upcoming season is the last time people can use a COVID year, maybe next year. And
yeah, I think so.
And, Nebraska is bringing back a pretty experienced, I mean, so is Iowa, but Nebraska is bringing back a pretty experienced defense, and they've got Raiola making all these plays at the spring game. I saw the highlights. Throws a nice ball. Threw a couple nice balls, and you know I think they got some guys. Searle sort of talked about that in his episode. They're catching a few athletes at the skill position, so that should be a more veteran team in what, year 2 under Matt Rhule. So
that would make sense. Yeah,
and yeah, I think they're probably, I haven't looked at their schedule, but I think they're probably a 500 ball club. Like, I think Rhule's the guy that's finally going to dig them out of this hole. I don't know if he takes them to the top of the mountain, but I think he's better than Frost. I think he's already proven that. Yeah. So, also, Torrey Taylor, and we'll get to him. He wasn't the first guy off the board for the Hawks, but Torrey Taylor was drafted before Iowa State's best guy, meaning our punter was better than every possible draft eligible player from the Cyclones. And that's something you do love to see, Grant. Something you love to see.
No, I think the Bears got a steal there. I had a first round grade on Torrey Taylor in my mock drafts, in my power rankings.
He fell.
Yeah, I think they got a total steal.
They nabbed him there, huh?
I think that was a total steal. I can't believe they got him that late. Fell right into the Bears' lap.
Punter is weird. Special teams is weird because it's super supply and demand oriented. So you might have a guy like Torrey who, and Torrey might be an outlier because Torrey was, I think he's the second highest drafted punter since 2019. So in the last 5 years, he's the second highest punter drafted since 2012. He's like he's the third highest punter drafted in the last over a decade.
And which is crazy. So I would have assumed fourth round was the highest any punter has ever gone.
I don't even know who I guess, was it Townsend maybe?
I'm looking right now. The highest, I believe it was, it's this Ron Stark was taken in the second round in 1982.
Okay. Can I get a common era? Like a, can I get like
pre-Google or
search me 2019 punter drafted and 2012 punter drafted, because those were the 2 years they gave. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make there is, like, a guy like Torrey, sort of generational, at least they expect him to be. He's you know, plus all the attention that he's gotten from McAfee and the national media the last few years, he is a guy that he was probably going to get taken regardless. But like, your average good punter, like the top three punters coming out every year, they could be unbelievable, like exceptional punters. But if every NFL team kind of had like a good situation going on last year, if every team was just like, yeah, we kind of like, we were okay. And there's years like that in special teams where every there's usually one or two kickers or one or two punters that didn't do great. But with the amount of guys out there who are trying to catch on, we've talked about Shudak and Keith Duncan and Miguel Racinos. I mean, just the fact that those three guys right there, with how good they were for the Hawks, and none of them caught on, that means that they're getting beat out by other guys who these NFL teams are considering like, eh, they're okay.
Yeah.
So the skill level, the amount of luck, and like, it's just the demand is doesn't quite meet the supply for these guys. And in turn, what that means is, like, you could have a great, great, great kicker or a great punter. Every once in a while, a long snapper will get drafted. I don't know if any snappers got drafted this year. They could be great, and they could be a free agent pickup after the draft, because there's just no need. Like, people don't want to spend a pick on them. So for them to grab Torrey at 122, I believe, fourth round, pick 122, Kev, Torrey Taylor, bear down, huh?
Which was at the time, I believe, their last pick of the draft.
And then they picked up one.
They traded for another one, I think, in like the next round.
But yeah.
Yeah, at the time. Crazy. We're going to cap our draft off here, fourth round, punter.
Start it with Caleb Williams, end it with Torrey Taylor.
It's good bookends there.
And then you see Caleb sent Torrey a text like, hey, we're not going to need you a whole bunch.
Yeah. And then all the jokesters and the replies were like, a lot of fumbling and interceptions incoming.
Twitter will never let you win.
No, of course not.
So I did want to share though. So the 2012 guy was Brian Anger.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars selected him in the third round, 70th overall.
Wow.
But this is so in 1979, Russell Erkspin, I don't know how to pronounce. There's a lot of consonants next to each other there. But he was drafted 11th overall.
You're shitting me.
In 1979.
He had to play some other position too.
He's probably like QB punter hybrid, but
right.
Ray Guy went 23rd overall.
Oh my overall. God. Jesus overall. Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, they valued the punter and field position back then, Kevin. They valued them. I saw a lot of hybrid Bear Iowa fans, because that's why it was so big. Like, a ton of Iowa fans are of the Kevin bloodline there, where it's like, hey, I'm from Chicago. They're not really from Chicago. They're from like Aurora or the Chicagoland area. But like, they hang around Chicago, or they come to Iowa City, or they come to work in Cedar Rapids. So they're all Bears fans, and they're Hawkeye fans. And so Torrey couldn't have hit better, because now he has half the fan base already knows who he is. A lot of people on Twitter are like, hey, I know this is a joke. Like, this isn't fun. Like, Torrey is going to be a massive pick for us. Everybody get very excited about this, because our field position is about to be absolutely elite. And I would agree with them. Like, what a pickup. And I'm excited for Torrey.
The cheers of when Torrey Taylor goes out there are going to be, for some Bears fans, it will be very unexpected. But
they're like,
going to
be very
confused. Right. There's a high percentage of Iowa fans that
Bears will catch on quickly.
Yes.
They will catch on quickly. And that stadium, which, by the way, did you guys see the new concept for the new Bears stadium?
It's like the eighth.
I don't think I have. No, I know they were where they're planning on putting it.
It looked absolutely
where the old horse racing facility track was.
So it looks unbelievable, but it's going to cost $800 trillion or whatever, so it's always just concept right now. Anyway, I don't know if Caleb Williams is the answer. A lot of people seem to think he is. The Bears are kind of cursed as of late. Jay Cutler is like their best quarterback in the last two decades. So
what's wrong with Jay Cutler?
Nothing. I love Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler actually had a couple solid years there, especially when he had Alshon Jeffrey to throw it to.
Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey was a dog.
But this is probably the best receiving core the Bears have had in a while.
They got Rome Odunze. And that's a hell of a pick. I mean, they had a good draft.
That's an awesome pickup to go who you want to be your franchise quarterback and who you are expecting to be a top level talent at receiver.
One of the two best receivers in the draft. Yeah.
Yeah. To get them in the same draft and hopefully they, can get a good understanding of each other. Good compatibility.
Yeah.
Also, how many times does the number one pick go to a 7-10 team last year?
Like, were they 7-10?
Yeah, the Bears were. I mean, they start out like 0-5 or whatever, but they like usually you're going to like a 2-3 win team. Like the Bears. I mean,
let's not make any mistake and say that the Bears are not are not a dumpster fire organization. They've been running pretty poorly for the last decade.
Right, but I'd say like situationally, like. Bryce Young last year went to the
better than Bryce Young. Going
that was tough game. For Bryce,
right? Yeah. Like situationally, like Gil Williams, it's not bad.
It's not the worst.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's like he is has some targets to throw the ball to, right?
Does he? They still got issues on the offensive line.
Keenan Allen's on the twilight of his career, but you got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, a rookie Roman Dunsay, who should be pretty solid. So
yeah, Komet as the tight end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kev, would you consider yourself a Bears fan?
Not really. I guess if I gunned to my head and I had to pick a team, I'd say the Bears. We were never a huge NFL family growing up. We were all like all in on college football.
Sure.
Hey, who are my buddies playing for? And that's
now it's just like who's a like I'm a Niners fan just because it's George. There is one,
and I guess I'm a Panthers fan now.
Definitely, dude. We're huge.
This is a Bill fan there for a while for Ike, and
this is a huge Panthers podcast. By the way, we're a JMU Dukes podcast. We're also now a Carolina Panthers podcast, which is kind of sad, but I'm hyped for it. Let's do it.
We got to move to the East Coast. Then, what you're saying?
So yeah, basically, we got to take this operation.
Where is JMU? Are they in
Harrisonburg, Virginia?
Yeah, they're in Virginia.
Oh, they're in Virginia. That's right.
We got to take this into the Atlantic Ocean, probably. We do have one resident true NFL fan, that is producer Grant. And how do we feel about Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos?
I trust Sean Payton. I think it's fine. And I think, too, at his spot, it's like, okay, like, is Bo Nix maybe, like, grade-wise a reach at 12? Sure. But I was thinking, like, who else did you want him to pick? Like, we needed a QB. Right, this is what we needed. Like, he likes Bo Nix a lot.
If you don't pick a quarterback there, who is the quarterback for the Broncos?
Probably either Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci, or another. Like, maybe they get Michael Pratt or something later.
Sounds like a group of studs, honestly.
They get Spencer Rattler later or something. So I don't know. I think like it sounds like Peyton really, really likes Bo Nix. So I'm just going to trust it. And now I will be a Knicks defender. So don't like to the death.
Okay.
But I like the Broncos draft. We got good guys. We got a lot of studs.
Okay.
A lot of studs out there.
Good for you guys. Hey, I hope it works out.
But also, I kind of wanted Brock Bowers secretly at 12, but it's okay.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. It stinks, too, that he goes then to the Raiders the very next pick. So now instead of having Brock Bowers, you get to play him twice a year.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. I mean, that is tough.
I'm a Bo Nix guy. I watched a lot of the highlights.
Sure you did.
Saw a lot of the tape. And I'm a believer.
All right, I'm glad that you're happy with it. Glad that you come away from the weekend happy. Very cool to see the scenes there in Detroit. Eminem walks out on stage to open the draft. They crushed the record for draft attendance; like 700,000 people attended it.
And that's something I was curious. What do these people do the entire time? It's like a name gets announced every 10 minutes. Like the people that are standing there a mile away from the stage. What are you doing?
There must be like beer vendors. So you just stand there and drink.
So, yeah.
No, it's a giant tailgate.
Yeah, I think it's a tailgate. I think there's probably like out back, like towards the back of it in the open fields. Like I think they set up like there's like events, there's activations, there's brands, there's you can play some bags, in the more open spots towards the back. I don't know, but they got 700,000 people there and it was kind of insane. Detroit went nuts. Detroit is a football town right now because they're riding that wave of Sam Laporta and Jack Campbell and the Lions, who just went to a division championship.
NFC championship.
Or a conference championship, yeah. And I think it's cool to see the Lions be good. It's cool to see bad teams get good. So
I'm a Dan Campbell fan. I like
Dan Campbell is so awesome.
He would be awesome to play for.
First We'll get to the other three now. We talked about Torrey a little bit. First Hawkeye off the board, and everybody knew this was going to be the case, was Cooper DeJean, although a little later than people expected. He was kind of projected in that first Eagles pick slot from 22 all the way to the back of the first round, 22 to 32. Coop not only slides to the second round, but then he slides another like six or eight picks to 40. And the Eagles get him anyway. They got
They had to be psyched about that.
Dude, they got Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, I think they had, what, like the 31st pass rank defense last year or something like that. They're probably like, yeah, who do we want at this 22 spot? You know, we got our choice of DB because I don't think any DBs have been chosen at that point.
Nope. Like,
this guy's crazy athletic. We gotta go with this guy. I think he runs like a 4.3 flat.
The kid from Toledo he's sort of like freak of nature. I mean, yeah, so is Coop.
You're like, we would be great at Coop, but I think this guy could be like a shutdown, lockdown corner.
So, yeah.
And then they're probably like, you know, end of the first night happens, like, how many picks are we away from?
Got a chance.
And then it comes around, like, boom, we got him. That's all.
And dude, they have Darius Slay at one corner already, and I think he's a top five guy in the league right now. You know, you put him up there with guys like Sauce Gardner, Jalen Ramsey, name a few others. You got Darius Slay on one side. You put this Quinyon Mitchell at the other corner, and then you throw Cooper in as the nickelback or maybe rotating in at safety reps. Like,
put him wherever you want.
Wherever you need him. Their defense was already, like, pretty good.
Their pass defense wasn't.
Their pass defense wasn't, but, I mean, God damn, they are. I saw a few tweets. There's some crazy NFL fans on Twitter. And Coop got drafted, and underneath, you know, the NFL tweet of that was like, how did the Eagles come away with the two bet? Like, I am a so-and-so fan, and I am pissed about this. How do we let them get away with this? Like, other teams were absolutely livid that the Eagles were able to do that. And yeah, hey, now we're Philadelphia fans.
I was going to say, are you going to get a Kelly Green DeJean jersey?
Probably not, but, you know, if I was ever going to cross the path,
okay.
The Kelly Green DeJean would be up there. The black and blue Jewel jersey would be up there. A Kittle jersey would be up there, but only of our guys. I'm never going to wear
Coop's
someone.
Not your guy?
I just mentioned Coop, Josie, okay. Kittle.
Right. Just want to make sure. Did you guys see that crazy question he got asked, like, right after?
You know, there's not a lot of white corners.
He basically got asked, like, will being white stop you from playing cornerback in the NFL?
It really is funny how when it's a question, and I don't care about any of this, but, like, it's just, it's a little bit outrageous.
It's a question you'd never ask any other race whatsoever.
Just quickly flip that. It's like a D lineman who's, like, Hawaiian. They're like, do you think Hawaiian might kind of mess you up playing D line in the NFL? What, sir? What?
It's like 20 years ago, like the stigma about black quarterbacks, right?
Yeah. Or somebody like, you know, back in the 60s, somebody just like, you know, asking Hank Aaron, they're like, you think being black's gonna be tough for you playing baseball? It's like, what, dude? Coop's up there like, they put me wherever, I'll play wherever, I'll just play wherever, you know. Yeah, cool to see him go. Lost some money there. Lost some money. Those as you slide a pick and pick and pick. I mean, if he could have gone at 22 and he's at 40, it's a lot of money. But Coop will make a lot of money, likely, in that second contract. You just trust that he will. And he's just one of those guys. Like, he'll turn out fine. He's an Iowa guy. Second guy off the board. Wasn't a Hawk for as long as we would have liked him to be, or as many reps as we would have liked him to be. But I think it was like 114, Eric All. Off the board, tight end, goes to the Bengals. And a lot of people, when he got drafted, calling him like one of the sleepers of the draft because of his injury. He was kind of low key. He slips to the fourth round. He's athletic as hell. He can run. And if he's healthy.
Yeah, that's his big thing. He's got to stay healthy.
Dude, if he's healthy, I think he's got potential to be an NFL starter. Like, he could be the guy. And then finally, Logan Lee, friend of the show. didn't talk anything about football when he came on, but we knew that he was impressive. And obviously a few teams thought he was impressive as well. Sixth round, he's going to stay in the black and gold, which is great. Looks great on him. He's a Steeler kind of guy going out to Pittsburgh.
Big time.
Yeah. I feel like he screams Pittsburgh.
Steeler. If there was one team Logan Lee was going to go play for, it's Pittsburgh.
Here we go.
Dude, I'm happy for him. And hey,
six round defense, man. Yeah.
And I don't know where he, you know, the, if you go to like ourlads.com, they always have the updated depth charts like right away. Steelers depth chart. And they're pretty accurate on like where guys are going to be slotted in as far as first and second seeds or first and second strings. And they slot Logan Lee in. All right. So they got him third at D tackle. But I saw him. Oh, well, you're behind Cameron Hayward there. So that's the automatic second string. But they said they see him as they could kind of play him wherever. And that he's not going to be on the edge, like standing up a whole lot, but he's going to be,
TJ Watt does that job pretty well for them.
Yeah. There he's TJ Watt is pretty
good. He's all right.
But, I'm excited to see Logan Lee. I think he's a guy that sticks. I think he sticks.
I agree.
Now, do you think his teammates might be a little shocked at first by his diet, his shake?
That's the only thing that's working against him is, like, the GM just watches him throw a whole chicken breast in the blender, and he's just like, I just can't handle that.
There could be issues if the rest of the team or some staff walk into the facility and he is just blending a whole chicken breast and five.
He said nine eggs, too. We might as well just put the whole chicken in there.
Nine eggs and a whole chicken breast in a blend in a Vitamix, you know, and he's in there like, yeah, hey guys, it doesn't taste that. It's not actually not that bad, you know.
Was that one of our more viral clips? Is him describing his shake? It's up there, right?
I wouldn't call it viral, but out of all the clips that we put up, it's definitely in like the top 10 or 15%.
It's well above average.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't match the. Choose your animals in a arena clip from last summer. I have to go back and see if
what a weird world we live in.
Yeah, that was wild.
If that tells you anything, that just tells you that we have to go further away from sports and just talk more about nonsense.
That makes me think that our conversation earlier about being lonely and not having friends might go viral within the middle-aged community. Like, we might get 500,000 clips if Grant Clips say, like, hey, you have no friends? Make it happen. Call your buddies right now. Plan that trip to Vegas. Like, that, hey, that might become a sound that people use. And then they like
rally the boys.
And then they rally. Yeah. I don't know. Any other thoughts from draft weekend? From either of you?
Shout out Joe Evans. Picked up.
Hey, there we go. Thank you for that. We got a few that got picked up. Joe Evans going to the Ravens. Steven Stelianos, who didn't get as much time as he probably would have liked for the Hawks, but he's, I think, signed with the Titans. Noah Shannon, who got absolutely boned by the NCAA. And I think the kids who got boned by that just opened up a lawsuit. I think they just opened up a lawsuit. I don't know, but they should get so much money. He'll be going out to Las Vegas. We might see Kevin and I might see him this week. Who knows?
We should hit him up.
We should
hit him. He'll be there.
He'll be out there.
He'll be rookie minicamp, right?
Who else got picked up? Joe, Noah, Steven. Yep. There was one more.
Oh, poor guy. Just forgetting about him. Now I feel bad.
Who else would have been a senior that was trying to like?
I was gonna say, I feel like every senior on defense came back. So,
dude, I can't think. I'm missing somebody.
I don't think there is any. No,
maybe there isn't anymore. I thought there was four, but that makes seven, maybe eight.
Noah to the Raiders. Yes, Leonis to the Titans, and then Joe Evans to the Ravens.
Okay,
no, he's. Jones to the Ravens, not the Raiders.
Ravens, yeah.
I'll take it.
So, shout out to the boys. You know, something Kevin and I didn't get to do. Wish we would have.
Oh, do we count like make it like 4.5? Tyrone Tracy. He's going to the NFL.
Tyrone got drafted in the fourth round, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, and what was funny? They threw up just like exclusively Iowa highlights. when he got drafted
against us, or when he was playing for us?
No, like he's playing, and they had like 21-23 on the
his career at Purdue wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't. That kid's athletic. That kid's got talent. If he can find the right spot, I think he might have the ability to stick on a roster somewhere too, for a couple years at least.
He's old, man. I feel like his first year was the year after we got there.
Pretty close, at least 18, maybe 19. So he's.
If not 18, 2019 was his first year.
I mean, yeah, he's 24, probably.
Yeah, I feel like he was.
Which is old in the NFL. If you're 24, 25, that's again, the weird thing with these next couple drafts is like you've got guys that are old, man. Like, you're just like, how much tread you got left?
By the time you get to your second contract, you're past your prime.
Yeah, like, how much tread's left on this tire, brother? You know?
So if we're talking age, how do you guys feel about the like the big talk is the Falcons' decision to take Michael
Wild.
Penix. At
wild.
The wild decision.
They just signed Kirk Cousy to like $400 billion, and they decide with the eighth pick to grab Penix?
Right. I mean, you signed Kirk Cousins to a big deal, thinking like, okay, you have a window that you can compete here for like, what is that, 3 years, 4 years?
You would think the idea would be
I think it's four, but there's probably
I believe it's four.
Let's say you think you have a 3 year window that you can go win. That's why you signed this guy for a shit ton of money, which means you should probably get somebody that can help you out in those.
Get him some weapons.
Yeah.
Or get him an offensive lineman to block for him, or get a deep help out the defense. Like, do anything but get
anything another. Other than a guy that's going to sit on the bench.
So weird, man.
Right. Like, you can maybe look at it like next year or the year after that. Get somebody who can sit behind him.
This year.
And also, again, you're getting somebody to sit behind a guy who's already like 25 years old.
Yeah, if Kirk plays out his contract, I mean,
Penix will be 29 when he
Penix is going to be started. Penix is going to have two kids and a wife and he'll already be pulling retirement by the time he gets a chance to start. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. That's crazy.
It's almost like, I guess it's never terrible to go top 10, but it's like almost a bad situation for Penix too.
Hell
like,
yeah,
you don't want to get drafted into a spot where you got to play right away and there's just nothing around you to help you develop it at all. But at the same time, like, he's already a pretty developed quarterback. I mean, he's the more veteran quarterbacks in the draft than Bo Nix, right? And sure, like, NFL is obviously way different than college, and you know, a year might be beneficial to him to sit on the bench and learn. But are they planning on cutting Kirk Cousins in a couple of years?
I don't know.
Russell Wilson on and pay him a bunch of money for.
If I'm Kirk, I'm feeling good though, because either way, I got like that $100-some million contract. I will say this: out of all the quarterbacks drafted, and there was a record.
I think if I was Kirk Cousins, I'd be pissed.
Oh, you're certainly pissed.
He said he had no idea that
they called him when they were on the clock, and they were like, "Hey, by the way, we're gonna draft Penix right here," and he was like,
"Fucking why?"
Like, okay.
You guys see the clip of the owner?
The owner talking to the wild.
It's like trying to comprehend what the GM is doing.
He was trying to explain it to him, like, "Hey, but like, listen, bro, like, listen, this is the plan." And he was just like,
and the owner's just like not comprehending it whatsoever.
Like everybody else on earth. Out of the six quarterbacks in that record first six of 12 picks, I do think the most interesting, and I'm very intrigued to see how he does, is I want to see what JJ McCarthy does with the Vikings. I'm intrigued to know if like he can, if he's going to translate. I think everybody's a little bit like, is he going to be good? Is he going to be
is he going to be good, or is he just on a good team?
Right. And I think they're giving him the keys. And
ooh,
what?
I like,
you like that.
Yeah,
JJ's got the keys, and who knows? I kind of like the Vikings. Like, if I had to pick a team, maybe like the Vikes are cool. I like the Rams, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
McCarthy's done a lot of winning. We'll see if he can. If part of that is because of him.
I'm interested to see. I don't think he's going to a great situation right now, but I think Jaden Daniels might be end up being the best quarterback.
Dog.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to – I'm curious about Drake May the most.
Yeah.
I think his is interesting. Like the Patriots. Well,
they're all going to get ample opportunity here. Yeah. One of the funnier memes I saw come out of the weekend was Marvin Harrison.
He might be the best player when we look back in this draft class.
Somebody tweeted a photo of Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray's first appearance together, them meeting. And it's just a picture of Marvin Harrison Jr., like so big on the left. And I'm like, and then you look at the bottom and it's half of Kyler Murray's head. It's like, man, this guy just gets absolutely torched for being 5'11". It's the funniest thing.
It might be a good fantasy pickup, man. DeAndre Hopkins had a really good year when Kyler was thrown to him.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is a plug and play, like immediate good, like wide receiver one option in fantasy. Like he's just a sure thing. He's so good. He's so polished. I mean, it helps when you have those genetics, and
he'd probably be better than his dad.
I mean, I think his dad's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, that's a lot to put on a kid, but he's got the raw talent, that's for sure.
He doesn't have Peyton Manning throwing to him.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyler is no Peyton, not even close. But we'll see. Fun draft episode / you don't have friends after 23 episode, and I'm glad we could talk about it. And this is part of why we have this podcast, so we can get on. Me and Kevin can not feel lonely. We can fight our depression as adults in America, and we're happy that you joined us. By the way, decision that I just told the boys before this, we talked about how it was dry season. It was just so dry for content, and I realized that a lot of you, even the common every week, every episode listeners during the season, in the out of season, you got things going on. It's not football. There's no football week to week. You don't care as much. Maybe you're into another sport. It is absolutely dry, dry, dry. As well as the next couple months are super busy for the tech guy here, the one who runs this show. And then towards the end of that, Kevin's getting married as well. So we've got a lot going on this summer. So multitude of reasons, we're going to switch to one episode per week moving forward. We're not going anywhere on the Patreon. Drake and Gary Friday still happening basically every week. DHT happening basically every week. If you want to sign up and still get your two exclusive podcasts behind the paywall there, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. We will have one normal episode. And then sometime back in maybe early July, middle July, we'll pick back up with the two weekly as we head back into the season. That's pretty much it. Thanks for joining us. As always, Washed Up Walk-Ons. We'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.